But I want you to tonight to turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I want to begin with verse 25. And of course, there's a parable given that Jesus gives about the Good Samaritan. And so I want to kind of take this approach to this passage and to the parable itself. Because Jesus was making a statement in this parable, but he was also asking a question. And so the question was, who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Now, there's a lot of ways that you can define neighbor. You can define neighbor as far as who you live beside. I know that when we moved in this area when I was in eighth grade, we knew who our neighbors were the first day. When we, when the moving truck came, I don't even know. I was so surprised, but I don't even know how many neighbors came in that small development came to help. And so they were helping us move. And so they were our neighbors, and that was a good neighborhood. They were good people. As far as always willing to help. And then you could consider a neighbor as maybe being a coworker or a friend, but you also could consider a neighbor is those that that you come in contact with every day. And so there's many different things that we think of, but the question is, who is your neighbor? And so I want to begin reading with verse 25 of Luke chapter 10. The Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him," meaning Jesus, "saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering and said," and he speaks about the Samaritan, "a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him with his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound his wounds, poured in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he had departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, Go and do thou likewise." So let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for each one that's here. We thank you for those that are viewing. We thank you for the answered prayer. We do lift up the request of prayer that were mentioned, the needs, the tragedies, the so many things that's happening in the world. And Lord, help us to not get discouraged, but help us to look to you. Help us to find our peace. Help us to find our hope. Help us to find our direction in you. So, Father, I pray that you'll bless our youth who's down in the fellowship building. And so we ask that you meet needs, and we ask that you help me. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A certain lawyer stood up and ultimately tempted Jesus. And that temptation was ultimately a way of testing, trying to test Jesus. He was interested in trying to find a way to, for lack of better words, to trip up Jesus, to cause doubt, to cause turmoil, to cause problems for the Lord Jesus Christ. The intention was to trap him. He was causing problems. The one doing the question and the one who asked the question was a student of the Mosaic Law. He was ultimately a scribe. But I want to repeat a verse that I shared with you this past Sunday, and I feel very burdened about this verse, and that is this. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." I believe that we would all be convinced tonight when we look at the things that's happening around us. We are all convinced tonight that Satan's mission has not stopped. Satan is on a mission, and he continues to be on a mission, and he'll continue to be on the mission until his time comes. He is on the attack. This past Sunday, I mentioned that one of the ways that he attacks believers is to cast doubt. Doubting the what ifs and the possibilities, and it's almost like the thoughts come in a person's mind, and it literally causes a person to lose their focus on Jesus. Doubt is a very big hindrance to a believer. But I also think that there's another hindrance. And so I'll be sharing, as the Lord allows, I'll be sharing you different hindrances that believers face. And I believe that another hindrance that Christians face today is blindness. Now, I'm not talking about a physical blindness, but I'm talking about a blindness, and many are struggling through blindness, and they're not even realizing it's happening. These are, you know, in this passage, there is visual that we have here that if we open up our eyes, we will see the condition of the lost. And so we have a priest, we have a Levite, and we have a Samaritan. Three different individuals, three different lives, three different backgrounds, coming from what I would consider three different directions in life, but yet they all came upon the same thing. And they all saw this this individual. They all saw this individual in a different way. And if we're not careful, we look out and we can be so focused on our own mission in life and our own desires and our own things that we're not looking out and seeing the need. And that's why I call it a blindness. Because I believe that Satan can, you know, I mentioned Sunday that Satan looks for the weakest part in a person's life. And so he's going to try to break through and try to do a lot of different things. And a lot of ways that he tries to do this attack is through the mind. And the mind, and that's why it's so important that we spend time reading God's Word. Because it helps us. There's a passage in the Bible that says, think on these things. And so there's so much that Satan can influence and distract and all those things. And it's easy to lose so much focus on because of the cares of this life that we become blind to our neighbor. We can come blind to our neighbor. And so Satan attacks in so many different ways and so many different avenues. I even think about the church of Ephesus recorded in Revelation. You can work hard, you can serve, and you can do this job and that job, and you can lose focus and lose your sight and lose your first love. It's very easy for a person to lose sight of what is taking place. Now, we understand tonight the motives of this lawyer, we understand the motives of what he was trying to do, but even that is another tactic to try to discredit the Lord Jesus Christ. It's another tactic. And you can see it through the Gospels, time after time after time, they were trying to attack the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, kind of look at it this way. If they were attacking the Lord Jesus Christ, then why wouldn't they attack the believer of today? Why wouldn't they attack the believer of today? And I'm also convinced, and I was talking to someone about it today, I'm also convinced that the more we talk against Satan, the greater the attack will be on those individuals. But we must understand, greater that is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You see, that's the hope and that's the understanding. And that's what the Bible teaches us. So I want us to see the condition of the lost that this lawyer was trying to cause havoc against the Lord Jesus Christ, and how the Lord Jesus Christ so wisely gave this illustration and asked him the question. Notice the position of the priest. Verse 31 says, and by certain there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Now, kind of visualize in your mind, and that's what I like to try to do, is I like to try to visualize in my mind what is taking place. So in my mind, I visualize this one that had been beaten and they had stole from him, and ultimately they had left him for dead. And the priest saw him from a distance, but walked around him. Walked on the other side. What does that tell us? What does that tell us? Well, first of all, it didn't show any compassion, and it didn't show any concern. And he also went, in my mind, the other direction, the other side. Compare that to what the Bible teaches us about the Lord Jesus Christ. He had great compassion. When I think of the feeding of the 5,000, I think of the compassion They came from all different backgrounds. They came from all different ways. And Jesus knew that they needed to be fed. And he took those loaves and those fish and he blessed it and he fed, and there were more that was left over. He showed great compassion. And that's just one account. There's many where he showed great compassion. Notice the Levite. Verse 32. And likewise, the Levite, when he was at a place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So he too was an individual that looked down on this individual, this man who was in need. He kind of looked, and you would almost consider this Levite as kind of being a step down from this priest. As one commentary said, he would be kind of like an assistant to the priest. But the point is not necessarily as much the position as he held, but the fact that he looked the other direction. He looked the other direction. But he didn't like what he saw. Maybe he thought to himself, I don't have time, I'm too busy. And you know, when it comes to busy, we're all very busy. There's a lot of things that we have in our lives that's very busy. But I believe that we should never be too busy to help someone, to have compassion on someone. Maybe he saw his condition and thought to himself, well, there's nothing I can do. Well, I'm glad that someone told me about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they didn't consider my lost condition as being hopeless, but they shared the gospel with me. And then finally, we notice the position of the Samaritan. Verse 33 says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And notice what it says. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. See, he wasn't blind. He wasn't blind to what was happening. He wasn't blind to the condition of this individual. He wasn't blind to the need. He wasn't too busy, but yet he had compassion. And in that compassion, he took action. He took action. He bound his wounds. He poured oil on them. He picked him up, he put him on his beast, and he took him to a place of comfort. He took care of him. Verse 35 talks about how that he even paid the price. It says, and now on the morrow when he had departed, he took 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. So he paid the price. He paid to help this individual. But you know, it was interesting to me when I start reading that, and where he made the statement to the host. He said, go and spend what you need to take care. And if there's more that I haven't given you, in other words, if I haven't given you enough, just let me know and I'll take care of it when I come back through. And what I got out of that was this. He was trusted. He was trusted. He must have been a trusted individual because if anyone would have owed someone, or maybe I should kind of put it this way, he was to be trusted and he would make it right. When it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, there may be a lot of things that we don't understand. There may be a lot of things that we think are tragedies, just like this individual who was assassinated today. It's a tragedy. But God knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. He knew when it was going to happen. And God doesn't make mistakes. He can be trusted. Doesn't mean we're going to understand everything. There's been things in my life that has happened and some things that literally broke my heart with my father passing the way he did suddenly. But God doesn't make mistakes. And therefore we can't lose our sight of the things that's happening around us, because Satan wants people to be bitter over this. Satan wants Christians to be bitter to the point to where there's not showing any love and not showing any compassion. And simply showing the anger. And yes, we should be upset over things, but not to the point to where we're not helping individuals. We can't lose our sight of the things that's happening around us, because the most important thing in life is someone coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's the most important thing, is someone coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the question that Jesus asked in verse 36 was this: which now of these three thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? So he took that question situation, or that trial, if you will, because in a sense, Jesus was on trial because this lawyer was testing him. So he turned it around and asked the question: which one of these? Which one of these is the neighbor? Because of this one that fell among thieves. Which one? Which one is the neighbor? What did the Good Samaritan see? Let me give you just a couple of things tonight that the Good Samaritan saw. The Good Samaritan saw a few things. He saw someone that was hurting. He saw someone that was hurting. His eyes were open to the need of someone that was hurting. Now keep in mind that he couldn't heal his wounds, but yet he could help. He could help. Someone who is lost can't change themselves, nor can they expect. We see the things that's happening in the world today, and you see that the hatred, and you see all these things that's happening in the world today, and we get very discouraged, and we get very troubled, and we get very upset about some of the things that's happening in the world. But we always need to remember that a lost person can't save themselves. So this one that had been beaten, this one that had been hurt and stole from, they were helpless. But the Good Samaritan saw that there was ways that he could help. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can change a life. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could change a person. But as a believer, we need to see the need. We need to see the need. We can't change them, but we can sure help them. We can sure help them. The need. Sometimes we can get so focused on the things of our life and the cares of our life that it would be easy not to look around and see so many needs and so many individuals that need the Lord Jesus Christ. This one that had been beaten couldn't lift his own weight. He couldn't lift his own weight. So the Samaritan saw this and he put him on his beast. He picked him up and he helped him. There's a verse in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 6, the Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I'm so grateful tonight that Jesus Christ died for us, because we couldn't lift ourselves up. But he reached down and picked us up, just like this Samaritan reached down and picked up this one with the need. There's also another verse in Psalm 36, verse 12. Psalm 36, verse 12. The Bible says, "There are the workers of iniquity fallen. Thou art cast down and shall not be able to rise." You see, so many don't understand why we still meet and pray. So many don't understand why we meet and spend time in God's Word. So many don't understand why we have a prayer list. So many don't understand why we encourage each other and pray for each other and help each other and lift each other up. They don't understand. The unsaved can't lift themselves up out of sin. You know, they can try to say that I want to turn over a new leaf, and they can try to say I'm going to do things different. I'm going to try. You know, I know individuals, and I've talked to individuals that say, you know, I'm going to do things better. I'm going to help myself, and I'm going to straighten myself up. Well, you can't straighten yourself up without the Lord Jesus Christ, without the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Good Samaritan knew that this individual could not help himself, so he lifted him up and put him on the beast and took him to a place of comfort. To a place of comfort. Jesus Christ brings a person out of the pit of sin. What else did the Samaritan see? He couldn't hire his own way. He couldn't hire his own way. In other words, he didn't have the money to help himself. So the Good Samaritan left money that someone, the host, could help him, and says, whatever you spend, that this won't take care of, I'll bring the rest. Well, we know tonight that our sin is paid in full. Our sin is paid in full. Jesus paid the ultimate price for us. He paid the ultimate price, just like the Samaritan paid the price. All we have in life is Jesus. That's the most important thing. The most important thing is having Jesus Christ in our life. Being close to Him, praying, spending time in God's Word, helping others, and shining for Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Samaritan's eyes were opened. He was not blind to his own agenda. He wasn't blind to his own cares. He wasn't blind to, I have to do this and I have to do that. He wasn't blind to the things that could cause a distraction. But yet his eyes were opened. The priest, he was blind. The Levite, he was blind. And you would think, in the name of religion, if you will, that their eyes would be open to help. But I'm convinced tonight that in the name of religion, religion doesn't help anybody. But what helps is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when I got saved, just like you, when I got saved, I didn't get religion. I got Jesus Christ. I got Jesus Christ. So our challenge tonight is that our eyes are opened, because Satan is the only attack, and he's going to attack in so many ways. So many ways. So verse 37 says this. Jesus says these words. Well, let me just read the verse and then we'll focus on what Jesus said in conclusion. But Jesus said, he asked that question in verse 36, and the answer was, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, the words of Jesus, go and do thou likewise. You see, that's a challenge for us tonight, to go and do likewise. And I close with this question. Who is your neighbor? Who needs help? Who's in your life that you can be an encouragement to, that you can help, that you can shine a light for the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for our time together. And Lord, you know the attacks. You know the attacks on Christians. You know the attacks in so many ways. But help us, Lord, to open up our eyes. Help us not to be blinded by the things in our life, by the cares of this life. And help us to be more like the Good Samaritan that has compassion, that shows love, that shows care. Lord, I pray that you'll open up our eyes each and every day and help us to go and do likewise. We thank you for our time together, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.